News Radio WJPF. So happy to have our Emeritus Series guest today. Senator Dave Luchterfeld is our guest this morning. First off, Senator Dave, it's good to talk to you again, pal. I hope you've been well.
I have. I've been a very lucky person. Both myself and my wife are in, I think, pretty good health for people who are 82 years old. So,
When I called Dave, he was out on the links, so that was a good thing. I was glad, happy to hear that, too.
You know, it has been a hobby, and especially now with not a lot to do, it gives me certainly something to do. And Judge Lloyd Carmire and myself, who've been friends since high school, usually team up and play a couple times a week, to be real honest with you.
So apparently you just miss being frustrated in Springfield and you go to the golf course now.
Well, the ball don't go as far as it used to. You hit the ball and you think you hit it hard, you think you hit a home run, and it's really just a single. And that's just part of getting old.
Yeah, and next time you see Lloyd, tell him I said, hey, would you, please?
I sure will.
Do you remember the first time you and I met? I don't blame you if you don't, because it was very obscure. So I'm at a WSIU auction, TV, radio, and they're doing a fundraiser, and Mike Bost introduces us. And my first thought is, I'm thinking this guy played ball, all right? That's the first thing I think. And then you and I begin speaking about legislation. I'm not in News Talk. I'm in Rock Radio in a morning show at the time, and we're talking about legislation, Department of Corrections, for those stingers that were used in jail cells so they could heat up coffee, as we were talking about a couple of moments ago, except they were using them to heat up other fluids and fling at the guards. And that was when – that gave you an idea how long ago that was.
It sure has been. That has to be close to 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
If not longer. And it was interesting because, you know, this had a huge impact on me, because when you and I were talking, you took me seriously, and I'm thinking, this is a nice change of pace.
Well, certainly being in the legislature is serious, and I think your business is serious, informing the people of what's going on, and I think you obviously have been pretty successful, or you wouldn't be there anymore.
I guess to a certain extent. You know, you're an interesting guy. What is it? This connection, teacher, coach, and athletic director to politics. I mean, here's the thing. I've always looked at you. I'm a fan of Roman history and you know, Marcus Aurelius. I read his. I keep it literally on the table to read on bad days. I've always thought of you as like a Roman orator, right, with the robes and standing on the Senate floor. But I wonder how that person is made. I mean, from sports to being someone that on the House floor, Senate floor, everybody listens to. What's that trip like for you? Where did it start, David?
Well, you know, I think it started being a teacher. You know, you are in front of people all the time, and you, you know, I've always felt that the teachers that I had, they demanded certain things. I mean, one was to listen and take things serious. For instance, teaching and coaching is certainly a stressful job, but I obviously enjoy that stress. Another thing I think that really put the two of politics and teaching and coaching together is simply competing. You know, you're constantly competing in sports. I've done that ever since I've been, 15 years old. I enjoy the competition. Even today, playing golf, even though I don't play too well, I really enjoy the competition of simply going out and trying to give it your best shot to win. Politics is the same way. Very, very competitive. Obviously, I've enjoyed that. I think sometimes now that I'm retired, I miss that. Obviously, I think all of them sort of fit together.
Boy, the competition you saw with Barb Brown was unlike any other you'd seen in politics, wasn't it?
Well, it was. She was a very, very tough opponent. She was bright. She was articulate, driven, and that was certainly my toughest race by far. She was obviously a very good candidate.
You know, your predecessor, Mr. Dunn, I had a lot of conversations with him very often in Murfreesboro, Apple Fest, something like that, where, you know, he would be good enough for his time. And I, he left some pretty big shoes for you to fill, but you knew that. But it was interesting. I was talking about earlier this morning that I have rules of thumb for things. And his rule of thumb, as he described it to me, was the first thing you do is you vote your district. You vote for your district, not the state. The people that are in your district, those are the people you represent. Do you subscribe to that?
Well, I agree. Of course, there's an even bigger picture, and that is the overall welfare of the state. But, yes, the people elect you to be their representative in Springfield. And you do that a lot of times with your constituency service, with your people that help you in the office, in your offices, who take the calls and let you know what people are thinking about and what they need. And so we worked really hard at that. I think probably more than anything else, worked hard at taking care of the problems of the people in the district. You know, you mentioned Apple Fest. I still remember the very first day I was sworn in on the day of the parade, the Apple Fest parade. And after it was over, we were going to go out. Myself and my wife were going to go out and my family and walk in the parade. And it started to rain, and it rained for an hour. And here we are under umbrellas, and my wife came over to me and she says, "Are you sure you want to do this?" It was a very, very difficult day.
You know, but that's interesting that you bring that up, because being a competitor, being an athletic director, being a coach, being a teacher, it's not just you. You've got a wife and three kids. They're part of the Luchtefeld team just as much as anybody. They've got skin in the game every day that you're out doing your job. They pay for some of the times you're missing.
Well, and probably no more so than your wife or your spouse, depending. My wife and I have always been sort of a team. She is there for me at all times. Without that, I think that job would have been a lot harder. And certainly if they're with you all the time, and she was usually there at parades and then meetings and things like that that I had. Our kids were somewhat raised by the time I took the job. I think it'd be very difficult to be a senator with little kids, where you probably need to be there with them more than you do when they're a little bit older. But yes, it is a family project, just like maybe any job is. If you got the support of your family, it makes it a lot simpler.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kate's at work, so I can say this. I refer to her as my domestic support staff.
Yes.
She does. By the way, she doesn't care for that. I might suggest that you don't use that one, but I understand, and she does too. You know, when I was doing tornado or storm coverage here, I got to go. I'm going to be at work for the next 10 days. I'll see you. You know what I mean? And you do. And without that support, you do. You fall apart. There's other things that have to go on. You know, I'm curious about something, Dave. You and I have never talked about this. Your education. I mean, a bachelor's degree, St. Louis University, master's degree, SIU, Edwardsville. Education was a big part. You were an athletic director, as I mentioned. And I kind of look at human beings, and I'm not sure which is the right way. Maybe you can help me. The vessel is made, and then it is filled with education, or maybe the education is the vessel. I'm not sure. But let's take a look at your early years that are the ones that are formative, the one that makes you, that, you know, that vessel is filled with education. It goes into all the notches. Who made Dave Luchtefeld?
Oh, my. Number one, I started with the best parents you could possibly have. Their goal in life was to take care of their kids and raise them in the right way. I happened to have a number of teachers who really, I went to a little Catholic grade school in Lively Grove, and there was a nun by the name of Sister Sophie who was quite a lady. And I had her really for four straight years. She played a big part in trying to convince people that to make the world a better place, to try to excel, try to make your life a successful one. And then in high school, I had good. I had a couple of very, very good teachers. Then two coaches. Rich Aaron in high school was, he worked at his job really hard, and then in college, a fellow by the name of John Bennington, who was just a really class act. So people you're around, I think, make you. What you are, and then of course, the best decision I ever made in my life was my wife. She has been with me on the ups and downs of everything, and I know legislators who their wives are not quite bought into being in state government because it takes a lot of your time if you're doing it right, and they have even commented how much easier it has to be with a wife that will really support you. And then, of course, our kids have made us proud. And so it's been, I think all of it means that I've been a very lucky person.
Now, I find this interesting because, so they made the vessel, all right, and continued to shape the vessel even as it was being filled with education, and lead you to the point where you go into the Senate 1995 on apparently a rainy day in Murfreesboro, and are in the Senate until 2017. All right. Now, what I find interesting is during this time, you're the deputy minority leader for the Republican Party. And I spoke to your counterparts, and it was interesting. And when I asked about and my boss is one that got me thinking about this when he told me, he says, no, you don't understand. When Dave takes the floor at the Senate, everybody stops what they're doing and they listen. And what I find interesting is when I talk to some of your counterparts, they said, he was a minority leader, but it wasn't what he was so much as what he wasn't. He wasn't a bully. He wasn't overbearing. He wasn't foolish. He wasn't impulsive. This list of things that you weren't, that your adversaries admired you. You would stand up and you had not words to say, you had real, meaningful, compelling content in what you were delivering to the point where stopping what you were doing was rewarded year after year. And I can't think of a higher compliment.
Well, I appreciate that. I think something had a little bit to do with it. It was that I was older. Another thing, and I think people respect age. Another thing, of course, teaching, I really demanded that they pay attention. Another thing I think that I tried to do in the legislature is not to overspeak. I know a number of legislators who love to hear their voice, and they speak so much that people finally really don't pay a lot of attention. So when I said something, it usually wasn't very long, and it was not too many words, but it was something that I felt, strong about, and I think people kind of got used to that, and I do appreciate that.
Bob Butler, former mayor of Marion for so many years, used to say that things like you just said, keeping it brief, keeping it to the point, staying honest, keeping to your theme, was the difference between being a politician and a statesman.
Well, I appreciate that compliment. I guess what I tried to do was simply work at my job and be honest. In fact, I can remember saying on the day that I was sworn in Murfreesboro, when asked by the reporters, "Well, what are you going to do? What's your plan?" So right now, my plan is to simply work hard at the job and be honest. And I think that the people certainly respect that, but that's what they would hope their legislators do all the time, and try to follow through on that.
And I find that interesting because people say, "Oh, that's oversimplification." No, it's not. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Your mission statement is to do this and this, and every other decision comes out of your mission statement.
Well, as I followed politics, I heard politicians usually from day one have got a number of promises. I'm going to do this, you elect me, and I'll do this and this and this and this. A lot of times you can't do what you you say it to get elected, but you're not going to be able maybe to do it because you're just one of many legislators. So what I tried to do is not overpromise. other than, you know, the two things you can do is be honest and you can work at your job. Those you can do, and you don't need any help to do those. So, I tried to follow that as much as possible.
You know, it just occurred to me, you were talking about some of the people, you know, I don't know what it is about coaches. Maybe you can tell me. The coaches that I played for, had probably equal or larger impacts on who I am today than most of the teachers, because it was the simple stuff, right? Get up when you've been knocked down, win, play by the rules. Those, and coach is so informal, it's so familiar, it's so cavalier about what they contribute. I mean, you've been called coach your entire life, long after you left coaching. And we maybe get a chance to talk about why people call you lucky here in a minute. But, I mean, what is – I would imagine you knew Gene Hale, didn't you?
I did. I sure did. I knew a lot of – you know, I did it for 38 years, so I knew an awful lot of
– athletic directors.
And old coaches, yes.
Yeah, and athletic directors. Gene Hale had me run a lot of laps. And I wonder where I'd be without him saying, you know – we need to do a little work here, you know. And Coach Joghurst, another big one. He was one of those guys. Never yell at you, but you would, you know, do anything the guy asked you to do. What is it about that? I mean, we call it coaching, but you never stopped doing it. It just wasn't about basketball. What is that art?
Well, certainly there are coaches who are not necessarily real good coaches, and you find that out rather quickly. For instance, today, you know, I've been a senator, and I've been certainly a coach and a teacher. In Springfield, the name or that I had, that 95% of the people in Springfield called me coach, and I'm good with that. You could have called me a nickname or a senator or whatever, but even in Springfield, where you would find that most people are called senator or representative, but I preferred coach. And about, as I said, at least 95% of the people called me that. I think coaching, you can set examples. And if you do, kids are excited about participating. And you know, one thing is, hey, we're going to give it our best shot to win. And I'm going to do that, and I expect you to do that. And a lot of times it does guide kids in later life.
Yeah, that's why I see the reason athletic, oh, you'll never get to college play. It's not about that. It's about building people, and there are a lot of young men and women out there who need that additional leadership that comes from coaching. You know, I'm curious because we've only got a couple of moments left, and I don't want to shortchange this part of the program here. I've been talking earlier in the morning, you know, I've got my rules for life. I mean, my little rules. Be nice, you know. Sometimes people can't be nice to. I mean, I was talking, you know, about this yesterday, and you know, rule number three is people do things for two reasons: the good reason and the real reason. I mean, I've got all my rules that help me through. What about you, David? You've got little rules of thumb that maybe you could pass on this morning that you find tried and true, and work.
Well, you know, one of the things that I tried to do in coaching and even in the political field, you know, there are times when they're going to be down times where, you know, you feel like you maybe been mistreated or things aren't going your way or that. I tried not to speak out about that until I thought about it. You know, let's say you're struggling with, something in the coaching area. You might as well think about it for a while before you make statements that you'll later regret. And again, that's, in politics, the same way. You know, there are things happen that you really are not happy about. Maybe criticism, whatever, but not to be too critical, too fast, because you may not the next day or the next week you may regret that you said what you said. So, really tried to do that in both the coaching and teaching and in politics.
You know, what's interesting is how that speaks to me personally, because that to me is about impulse control. And I've always had a tendency to blurt things out occasionally. That's been to my own. But see, I've learned to bite my tongue, you know, a little bit as I've grown older. But what I hear you saying is, you know, control yourself. What I hear is stoicism, when it comes right down to it. I would imagine you've read Marcus Aurelius, Stoicism, and impulse control. That's kind of what I heard you talking about, and I it speaks to me.
Well, you know, again, you need some emotion. There's no question about that. But that, I think, is something that you need to hold back until you've thought about, do I really want to say that, or do I really want to do that? And I'm not really sure I thought about that this is how I want to handle it. It was something, I guess, maybe that I got from my parents or from coaching or other coaches, that sort of thing. But I think it's a good thing to set your sights on.
Yeah, I found that most often or not, when I didn't control myself, it wasn't me that I hurt. It was people I liked, and I hurt them. And you got to put yourself in the other person's seat. I'm glad you shared that with us today. Maybe I spend a little more time refining that trait. Senator Dave Luchtefeld, our Emeritus Interviews. Dave, I really do appreciate all the time you spent with us today. I really enjoy learning, and I have, since the first time I met you, you've left an impression on me, and you've driven me to be a better person when I do these interviews, because I have to be ready today because Senator Luchtefeld is my guest, and he's going to be ready, so you need to be ready. And I really appreciate the time that you've offered me and our listeners.
Well, I've always enjoyed talking to you. You usually come prepared. That's not the case. That's not the case in many interviews. And I've just learned that you're going to be prepared when you come to any kind of a interview with anybody. And it's been our relationship has been fun.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people that you. You're not the happiest you met, but I met an awful lot of good people. And you know, I guess one point I'd like to make, I have been an extremely lucky person. A lot of the things that have happened to me wouldn't always happen, you know, to anybody. You know, I just happened to be around a lot of good people and have made some decisions with, you know, I always say I sure did a great job of picking my parents. And that has been a big part of my life, and then of course my wife and family, and it's just been we've been blessed. There's just no doubt about it.
But luck is preparedness meeting opportunity.
Well, I hope so. that sounds good to me.
Senator Dave Luchtefeld, 845.